From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Sebastian Maurer-Stroh from the Bioinformatics Institute at the Biopolis in Singapore is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about the development of a new 3D model of a key protein produced by the H1N1 swine flu virus.
Dr. Sebastian Maurer-Stroh is Principal Investigator at the Bioinformatics Institute at the Biopolis in Singapore. His research specialty is functional proteomics. Dr. Maurer-Stroh, you and your colleagues published a paper regarding the H1N1 swine flu virus in the May 20th issue of Biology Direct. What was the purpose of your study?
We wanted to know what are the differences and similarities to previous viruses now that the new virus emerged, because we didn't know in the beginning also how severe it would be, and it's very important to understand how specific current treatment options, like the inhibiting the protein neuraminidase, eventually has changed with the new virus.
Your paper described four main findings. Would you discuss those findings, including those relating to the use of pharmaceuticals to treat the disease and to the development of a potential vaccine against H1N1?
By our study, at first we have to make an evolutionary analysis, as I said, comparing to the previous strains. And one of the findings here was that the protein neuraminidase was more closely related to other neuraminidases, for example, in European swines that also have the virus, and also that is actually more closely related to the bird flu neuraminidase rather than its H1N1 counterpart in the historic 1918 Spanish flu. So this was one of the first findings. And knowing the differences about the current virus from the previous ones, we were evaluating where actually those changes occurred. And for that, we made the 3D structural model. And actually what we could see, and what is also not so surprising, that most of the changes have occurred only at the surface of the protein. This is necessary because the virus needs to function properly, and the structure needs to be maintained. So only positions that are exposed at the surface are allowed to mutate. And these mutations, if you map them to the structure, they are going all around the surface. But luckily, on the surface site where actually the drugs bind, which is also the site where the natural function takes place, there were no mutations so far. And that means actually that there is no molecular reason why we would assume that the current drugs would not be effective. And indeed, clinicians have shown that Tamiflu, Relenza are working in that case. And there is also a third drug in clinical trial that should also work in a similar way. And the other problem is with vaccines. So since there are surface mutations and the antibodies would recognize actually parts of the surface, there have been several changes compared to the seasonal flu, compared to the previous avian flu, and so on. So for that, new vaccines need to be developed, but already the authorities are working strongly on that. And importantly also, a vaccine is not just based on a single protein, but in the case of influenza, they are focusing also on hemagglutinin, and having a mixture of multiple epitopes from different proteins is likely to give a bigger success to adapt the new vaccine to the current mutations.
Would you talk about the role of the 3D model of the neuraminidase protein used in your study? What did this model allow you to do?
Actually, when we look in the evolutionary analysis, we see that different positions are conserved. We see this in the sequence. But we don't know exactly how these positions relate to each other unless we put them into the proper structural context. Then we know in 3D which residues are close to each other. Are the mutations close to the drug binding site? Are they at the epitopes for the vaccines? And actually, it's very important to have an accurate model. And in this case, it helped a lot that there were previous studies on the other influenza viruses, because only having a good structural template in this case, we can also make a good model that can reasonably tell us where the actual side chains will be.
The Bioinformatics Institute Director, Dr. Frank Eisenhaber, said that your sequence study marks a significant milestone in the use of computational methods and understanding how mutations of the fast-evolving influenza virus affect immunogenic properties or drug response. Why do you think he called this a milestone?
Having a structural model of the major drug target is, of course, the first and necessary step to know how the new mutations could have affected the virus in a molecular detail. And actually, the computational methods are the best way to go because they're extremely fast. For example, when we started the study, we analyzed the patient sequences, and we only saw around five mutations, five differences in this protein, the neuraminidase. Whereas now, as we're talking, there are already 24 mutations. So our model was up when the virus had only mutated five times. And all the way since then until the current mutations, we have been able to follow it. And if one would need a crystal structure, which of course can give some more detail than a homology model, but it takes a lot more time to develop, and it cannot be done for every single mutation, whereas the computational model allows to analyze several mutations fast.
What other technologies to tackle H1N1 have been developed by scientists at the Biopolis?
I know at least three other ASTAR institutes have been making quite some serious progress with the H1N1. And, for example, they're working mainly on the molecular diagnosis. So there is a kit that allows rapid detection that can also be portable. There is tools to distinguish different strains, distinguish the different virus, seasonal flu, bird flu, and the current swine flu. And also they're doing whole virus genome sequencing in a fast and efficient way.
What do you have planned for the next phase of your research on H1N1?
Well, we will, of course, continue monitoring the future mutations. The virus doesn't sleep, and it seems it will be around for a while. So if actually a mutation occurs that could be problematic, then we would try to investigate further, use experimental methods, contact the lab that provided the sequence, and investigate if there was any abnormality in the treatment efficiency of the patient that had this kind of mutation. And eventually, if necessary, one could also say that where are the positions in the drug molecule that need to be altered to better deal with certain mutations. The 3D model could give a first idea how this could be done.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.